Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and in this episode, it's going to be some random stuff. I think we're going to kind of do a year-end wrap-up kind of thing, plus just some other random stuff on my mind, some of which includes using my smartphone a little bit less, how my sleep has improved because of the Chili Pad, which I think I mentioned in a outro of a previous episode. Some YouTube kind of random stuff. Of course, artificial intelligence, AI. I've been playing with OpenAI and I have some ideas around it. So as I've had more conversations with people and I've played with the tool, I have a few things where I think I might be able to use, not necessarily the tools like Jasper, but others, which I'll tell you about, and some failures. So that's maybe the end of year portion where maybe I talk about some mistakes, some things that I maybe in hindsight would have done a little bit differently. Hopefully I can learn from that for the coming year, and maybe you can learn something too. And the thing is, I don't usually do like end of year kind of like recap specifically for like my goals, or I definitely don't make resolutions for the next year. And it's just kind of, you know, another calendar date, but it doesn't make a difference any more than like 1 month to the next, at least not to me. I appreciate it if other people find like new beginning or new enthusiasm or whatever, totally cool, you know, run with it. But for me, I don't really pay too much attention. In fact, this time of year, it's dark a lot and it's kind of cold outside. And especially this particular week, I've been sleeping a lot. So why not start with the Chili Pad? So the Chili Pad, for people that don't know, it's a small like mattress pad, very thin, probably a quarter inch to half an inch thick. And you put it between your mattress and like your fitted sheet, and you can control the temperature. So in this mattress pad, there are little tubes and water circulates through there. The water is temperature controlled through a little box that, you know, sits like, I put it under my bed, but some people put it on their like bedside table or whatever, but there's a box that holds water and it heats and cools the water however you set it. I think it goes from like, I don't know, say 50 degrees to 115, something like that. So in the winter, it can keep you warm. In the summer, it keeps you cool. Most people that I've run across, they sleep warm. And I actually sleep warm myself, fairly warm natured. And I'd usually rather be cold, slightly uncomfortable cold than hot. I sweat a lot, don't enjoy it. So oftentimes I would wake up in the middle of the night, just, not necessarily sweaty, but I would wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm a little warm. And I would need to, you know, put an arm out or a leg or like kind of move the blankets around or something like that. Chili pads, they're relatively expensive. I think they're $500 or $600. And I looked at them maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And then I was like, it's kind of expensive, maybe if the time's right. And then I just kind of forgot about it. And my sleep has gotten better as I've cut back on caffeine and introduced some other like positive habits. Just getting into bed earlier helps a lot. Anyway, my buddy, he's had a Chili Pad for a few years. And he upgraded. So he had like a half queen size, and he was like, hey, I'll just give it to you, Doug. So a good friend of mine, he gave it to me, and it's been amazing. I've only had it 10 days. My sleep has improved dramatically. I'm not in bed longer than I was before. That's the crazy thing. It's just the quality of the sleep. So instead of me getting like, say, 7 to 7 hours and 45 minutes, I'm getting like 8:15 to like 9 hours of sleep per night. I'm not going to bed much earlier. I'm not doing any kind of dramatic other stuff. I'm just sleeping better while I'm in bed. Further, the biggest thing is I'm getting much more deep sleep. So I need to look back. I haven't sort of taken the average, but I'm pretty sure I'm getting like 2 hours and 15 minutes of deep sleep per night on average for the last 10 days, versus what I was getting before, which if I had to guess was like 20 minutes. Might be a little bit more. I'll come back with some more data, but it's been dramatic. And I've probably mentioned in other shows in the past that basically if I get enough sleep, I'm much more pleasant to be around. If I don't get enough sleep, everything feels like a crisis. I'm stressed out. I'm irritable. Just unpleasant to be around, even for myself. And I realize it at the time. So the point is, this extra sleep and even more deep sleep has been amazing. And just everything seems a little bit better now than it did before. So if you can get more sleep, I know not everyone can, different life situations or whatever, but if you can, get more sleep. And I'm pretty sure if I would have had better sleep habits, which, I mean, they weren't terrible when I was in college, but I'm pretty sure I would have done much better in a handful of classes. There were a couple rough years. I mean, I did fine, but it was a tough engineering program that I was in. Fairly tough school, has a reputation to be difficult, Georgia Tech. And I could have done better. I'm pretty sure I could have done a better job, just rested, clear mind. I probably could learn better. I could probably retain the information. I test pretty well generally, but when I didn't have enough rest, I mean, those were some tests and finals that I kind of blew. And then the next, actually there's a specific situation I'm thinking of where I think I got like a D on, no, I know what it was. All through the year, I was doing poorly in this fairly tough physics class called EMAG, right? So EMAG, that's kind of one of those difficult physics, calculus-based physics classes. And I didn't do that well on the tests through the year because I was taking a couple other tough classes. So I just didn't put enough time in, even though I actually love physics, even the, you know, EMAG and the more complicated stuff, not just like straight line motion stuff. So basically I did shitty all throughout. And then I got like a 92 on the final. So like once I had time to rest and study and do all the other stuff, I did really good, but it wasn't enough to pull my grade up. So anyway. Get enough sleep if you can. The next thing up is smartphone usage. So I am not too bad with my iPhone. I, for a little while earlier this year, not even like maybe a month ago, I was spending like more time than I wanted just on Instagram, like flipping through reels or just flipping through the feed. And it's just, you know, purely a waste of time. Clearly, I didn't have enough to do or something like that. So I was just wasting time and making myself dumber. I don't think I have any like really negative feelings on the like Instagram side. It doesn't make me feel bad or anything like that, but it's just a waste of time. And I turned down my screen time function so that I could only have 15 minutes of access to Instagram. And I think some days I had not even opened it. And I think I've been doing this for like 3 weeks or so. I'll have to check back. But basically, it's reduced the amount of time I've spent there by a huge amount, which is great. I'm not sure what I'm doing with the other time. I'm probably just doing normal stuff or not distracted as much. I don't think I'm doing something. I'm not just sitting on the couch because I could distinctly remember a couple times, like maybe after lunch, eat, be a little tired, sit down for a minute, and then just scroll mindlessly. So I've stopped doing that, which is good. And there's a YouTube creator that I watch, Wheezy Waiter. So I think he has like a million or so subscribers, but he's like one of the original YouTubers from back in the day. And I want to say he got started in 2007 or something like that. So he has videos from way, way back, which is kind of cool. And I found him when he was doing sort of lifestyle challenges. So he's done stuff where he's stopped eating sugar for a month, or they stopped, I'm trying to think of some of the others, but basically they're like, oh, I'm not going to eat sugar for a month. So they'll do a lot of times a month long challenge, he and his wife, and those get a ton of views. So kind of cool. And those are the kind of videos that get recommended outside like the subscriber base. So I ran across these sometime last year or so. And he's pretty funny is the thing. So sometimes it was part, you know, a little vloggy lifestyle challenge. He's very funny. He's a very sort of like understated kind of dry sense of humor and silly, you know, generally silly, a lot of times smart and filled with puns also. I don't really like the dad joke humor that's just kind of dumb. And then people say, oh, it's just a dad joke. It's fucking stupid. I don't really like those. So his are a little smarter. Sometimes they are just silly, but generally I enjoy the humor as well. So there's something valuable in there. He just published a video that he's going to quit his smartphone for a year, which seems rather ambitious. He has done up to like 1 month already. And, you know, there's some challenges and stuff like that. But say you're going to fly, like you pretty much need your smartphone. Like you need the app, you want to have some capability. So, you know, he'll have to use his phone for certain things. He does take a lot of photos and stuff on his phone, and he uses it for, you know, fitness things. So I think there's some pieces where he'll retain his, you know, current habits because they're largely positive and or essential. He's getting a light phone, which his, I've seen one of my, I guess, acquaintances I met some at some event. He had a light phone, and they're essentially like small, dumb phones that make phone calls and text messages. There are directions on there so that you can navigate, but I think they're lower quality than whatever you currently use, most likely. And there are no other apps, right? There's maybe a calculator, maybe something else, but it's kind of a, you know, old school. Think of a phone that you would have in like maybe 2001, something like that. Like it'll do the core stuff and not much more. It also has a matte, like monochrome screen. So it's kind of like a Kindle screen. You could do what you need to, but not much more. So I think he's going to use one of those primarily. And then when he has to, he'll use his iPhone or whatever he has there. So I will not go to those links, but it did make me think, because primarily I don't want to have to like move the SIM card and like make a whole process out of like switching to use the light phone versus a smartphone. So I think what I might do, and I haven't thought too much about this, but what I might do is just delete a handful of apps that I probably rarely use, but I could really clean it up and, you know, things that I might be tempted to hop in there and have a look, I could just delete them and not have to worry about it. And then it's a pain in the ass to install the app and then re-log in. That would be enough to deter me, especially if it's something that I'm just going to do for like, of 5 minutes or something like that. So I just wouldn't check. Anyway, I'm thinking about that because I'm usually pretty decent, but occasionally I'm like, oh, I'm going to look this up and I get sucked into some thought process, or I'm verifying a fact and I get sucked in, or I'm checking email, which, you know, there is some value, but maybe I need to set like pretty tight parameters where I don't just like automatically pick up my phone, check my email just because I can, only check it if I need to, for example. So I don't know. And I'm actually curious. I know this is like a battle that everyone is kind of fighting right now. So feedback at doug.show, if you have any thoughts on like phone usage, have you felt these things too? Are you thinking, I really love my phone, or I am getting sucked into this app and I'm like really wasting time? I'm decent. I don't have TikTok, which I know a lot of my peers, a lot of other people are, I mean, they'll spend a lot of time on that. One good thing that, you know, I'm not getting sucked into these certain apps for too long, or when I detected it myself on Instagram, I was like, all right, I'm just going to cut myself off here. It also keeps me away from thinking that I need to produce content for Reels or TikTok, or, you know, I'm almost getting sucked into Twitter and YouTube Shorts because I'm like, oh, my friends are doing it. Maybe I need to get in there too. But if I don't see it and I just hear about them talking about what they're doing, then it's much less of a pull. And I depending on who I talk to, they may encourage me to stay the fuck away from those things. So I've been recording a couple episodes of my other podcast, Mile High Fi, with a man named JD Roth. He blogs over at Get Rich Slowly, and he's one of the original like financial bloggers, personal finance bloggers, like from 2004 or something like that. So he's really smart guy. He and I think we have a lot of like sort of converging thought processes these days, and I think talking to him has helped me realize I don't need to spend time on these apps if I don't want to. If I'm getting some value from it, for sure, but it's really easy, even if you're getting a little value from it. Say Twitter, for example. Again, a lot of my friends are on Twitter and they're saying there's great conversations happening over there. There's great connections and such and such. And that is probably true. And it's what you put into it and what you try to get out. But I know I would potentially get sucked into the analytics a little bit. I would get sucked into, producing content for some purpose, right? Maybe I'm like, I want to grow my following, but for what? So maybe more people join the email list so that maybe more people buy the course or follow me in general. But for what? So if you keep asking why, I end up at a spot where, do I need to sell more courses? Do I, want to sell more courses, or is it fine where I'm at? I think it's fine where I'm at. So you kind of end up at a spot where it's like, are you doing all this stuff for some reason that is has some like false assumptions, things that aren't actually, valid at all? So when I ask why a few times, it usually leads me down the right path. And I'm not going to go into the full story here, but in the 4-hour work week, which is actually sitting right behind me, there's a parable that actually it's been around for, I think hundreds or thousands of years of, in the 4-hour work week, is called the Mexican Fisherman. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I encourage you to just Google this. You'll be able to find it. Tim Ferriss didn't make it up. He just put it in his book, and I'm sure it's in many other books. The main idea is there was a fisherman, a Mexican fisherman, and he was coming back with his catches for the day. So he was coming up the dock, and there was a New York businessman. And he said, how long did you spend catching those fish there? The fisherman said, just a little while. It's fine. And this is where I'm going to really truncate it and summarize. The Mexican fisherman said, I hang out with my wife and have a good time, and with my family, and we play guitar with the friends, and we take a siesta, and everything's great. My life is fantastic. And the New York businessman said, what you should do is fish for longer, sell the surplus, grow your business, and then eventually you'll have a big asset that you could sell, and then you'll be, millionaire many times over. And then the fisherman asks, well, what would I do then? And of course, the New York businessman says, well, you would be able to hang out with your wife, play guitar with your friends, take a siesta in the afternoon, and essentially live the life that you're already living right now. So that is kind of where I end up, where I'm like, do I need to do more stuff? And I think if you listen to the show and you've listened to the last few years, you've probably heard me like lean a lot more to, lifestyle ideas of, you don't have to work so hard. Like, you don't have to like buy into like the corporate, climbing the corporate ladder, or just that lifestyle. Or, if you have something comfortable, you don't necessarily have to keep growing. Now, caveat, it can be dangerous, right? If you become too complacent and you're sort of required, you're reliant on whatever cash flow that you have, and then your cash flow goes down, then you're in a spot where like you have to scramble. So I don't encourage, make sure you have your shit together and you have the optionality to do stuff. So look up that story if you're not familiar with it. It's funny, I reread that passage recently, And then I listened to one of my favorite podcasts, the TMBA, Tropical MBA. And the episode that came out like a week ago, by the time this episode that I'm recording now publishes, they talked about the parable of the Mexican fisherman. And, you know, they had some different insights about it. So I at first I was like, oh, I kind of disagree with Dan and Ian here, but they brought it around and I was like, oh, there is a path. So check out the Tropical MBA. We'll link up to it in the show notes, but it's about location independent businesses and entrepreneurs. And there's some lifestyle stuff. They are one of the original podcasts. I think they've been recording since, I think, 2007 as well. I'm just picking 2007 for everything, by the way. So anyway, good show. And I did think about that Mexican fisherman. And speaking of YouTube, I have been going back and forth. I've been playing with the idea of doing some videos that'll actually help grow the channel a little bit. So the thing is, the channel still grows, but it's much slower than it has been. I think personally, there's some changes in the YouTube algorithm. But the other part is, for 2 years, I've just been publishing what I want to publish. And those videos typically are success story interviews and sometimes, you know, something a little bit unusual, but generally they're along those lines. Occasionally I, you know, publish shows like this one, but generally they haven't been something that's going to bring in a new viewer and get them to check out more videos on the channel. And I have those kind of videos, but I haven't published any new ones in years. So most of those in that kind of topic area, I mean, they're from 2018, something like that. So it's been a while, and I may need to, as much as I don't want to, feed the beast a little bit and just, you know, publish some content that'll keep growing the channel. So, you know, I talked about the Mexican fishermen and stuff like that. And the thing is, this is why I can't get too deep into social media and stuff, is because it is fun to have successful metrics and analytics track up, and it, you know, in air quotes, it means you're doing a good job. Now, that's not the only metric, and I have a lot of other things that I consider when I think about the work that I want to do, but those are the metrics that we get. Those are the analytics we can see, and, you know, to have a little more growth would feel good. And the thing is, I should know what to do to publish videos that are a little better than what I did in 2018. So I've improved on the camera. I've improved my actual gear and stuff, which largely doesn't matter as long as people can see and hear you mostly. But moreover, I can create shorter form videos, not under a minute, but we're talking like under 10 minutes. So I'm thinking about videos that I typically watch, and a lot of times around that 10 to 15 minute mark is okay. Sometimes, you know, 6 or 8 minutes is even better. And it's just means it's more dense with information. It moves a little faster. And I think some of my older videos, especially, they are 15, 25 minutes long. Some are pretty long when they can be much shorter. Part of it is just the rambling nature of the way I approached things back then, just to do quick production. I would not write scripts, for example, or I would just ramble on and be redundant. So it's something I'm looking at. I'm not 100% sure. Speaking of YouTube, I just had like an interesting observation today. So I was on the elliptical machine and I was looking at my feed, which was a little bit better today. And I saw a video about a through hiker for the AT. So that's the Appalachian Trail. And I have no desire to do any like through hiking. And I mean, I think it's like a 5 or 6 month hike. It's like 3,000 miles or something. I'm getting some facts wrong. But anyway, I saw this AT hiker publish a video and I was like, oh, this looks kind of cool. I like watching hiking videos every now and then. So I checked it out, and it was just this lady who started the hike and she finished it. She completed the hike. Cool thing. So it's it was published 3 weeks ago, and it has 110,000 views roughly. So that means like it blew up. The crazy thing is she only has like 324 subscribers. So she basically just started the channel. I didn't look back to see how many videos she published, but it's essentially whatever she recorded on her phone. It's like a sort of a video essay kind of situation. So you could tell that she's reading it, which is fine. She's just narrating, but she's showing pictures that she took and then a handful of video clips. It's mostly pictures though, if I had to guess. And it's blowing up, which is cool. It's cool to see that basically a brand new channel, brand new creator is able to, you know, get out in front of people, and it really has taken off. I think you could probably do that in any space if you just, you know, get the timing right. The video quality was fine. It wasn't excellent. Audio was fine. I think even me just listening on my crappy headphones and not paying too much attention, I could tell she recorded the narration probably in a couple different takes, like her voice changed, I could tell. And I mean, you could hear probably, I'm not 100% sure, but she probably just recorded it directly to a laptop or maybe even onto her phone, and it was fine. Now, the one issue that she did, as soon as the video started, I heard music playing in the background, and I was like, that's a song I recognize. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure that means like she doesn't get credit for that video as far as like any earnings that may come of it in the future. Now, fact is, she probably hasn't hit the monetization threshold, but if the video continues to blow up, or if she like got behind it a little bit and tried to market it just a bit, there's a good chance she would be able to hit her monetization mark within a few, like a couple more weeks is my guess. I'm pretty sure she's probably already hitting the minimum hours watch. She just needs more subscribers is my guess. But the thing is, and I don't know all the rules behind it, but you can use copy music, which has a copyright, but the credit is listed right there. And I'm pretty sure the revenue goes to whoever has the copyright for the music. There might be some split or something like that. But the point is, she kind of shot herself in the foot. She could have, I mean, she just didn't know is the thing, right? She could have used music provided by YouTube. Like they have a whole section of like music that you can use that's, you know, royalty free, copyright free, like you can use it. Sometimes you have to credit the channel of the creator, but usually that's it. So she just kind of shot herself in the foot with this one. Maybe she'll know next time. You don't know what you don't know, but that was one sort of random observation. Okay, I'm going to talk about AI at the end. Before I get to it, there's a couple of failures that I thought of. There, I have more failures than this, but there's a handful of others that I couldn't remember, but there's just a couple that really came to mind. So one thing that I started it around this time last year was I started to publish more content on Niche Site Project. And I thought I found kind of an untapped area. And basically it's affiliate programs. And I'll actually tell you the whole background too. So different affiliate programs for specific niches. So best affiliate program for coffee, best affiliate program for outdoor gear, or something like that. And there's a ton of them, right? So these are searches that are highly relevant to my site. And I was like, I don't have any of this stuff. And I saw a couple other websites doing this kind of in my area, but they're usually a tool, which there's, you know, maybe somewhat of a conflict of interest for that kind of content to be on a tool. So one of them is like Amalinks Pro. One of them is Lasso. There's a couple others, but you know, this kind of content is kind of easy to produce. And when I looked at like Lasso specifically, I saw, well, it looks like they're just scraping this content. There's maybe like one sentence, the name of the affiliate program, maybe the information is kind of accurate. I think either, you know, they're doing it programmatically where this information is located in a database and then it's, you know, pulled and it's sort of dynamically formatted, which, I mean, they had to do the initial research and stuff, but largely the information in there was not helpful. Again, like think 1 to 2 sentences about the affiliate program. So I thought, you know what? My site actually has a decent number of links. If I make the content a little bit better, maybe put a little bit more information, put 4 or 5 sentences instead of 1 or 2, maybe that'll help it rank. And I have a lot of backlinks pointing to my site in the general topic area that makes sense. Affiliate marketing, niche sites, stuff like that. So I spent, I think, about $2,500, $2,800 last year around this time over the course of a month or two. And I had a writer and another VA help out. So published all this content. It wasn't the best thing, but I thought it was a little bit better than what was out there. And promptly didn't rank for anything ever, never got any traffic, didn't do shit, didn't change anything. So large failure on that to the tune of, like I said, $2,500, $2,800, which is not nothing. That's, that's a vacation or a couple vacations. We're fairly Spartan with our vacations. So that's a, couple vacations or like a really nice one. So kind of a waste. Learned a little bit where, I was trying to do something easy. I was trying to, take advantage of like a little spot in the market that I thought could help my site get a little bit more traffic. And I was trying to do it, kind of as easy as possible, which it doesn't mean you should try to make things more difficult than they need to be. But I was like, this looks like a quick win. Let's go for that. Versus, right, a better thing. Here's another failure, by the way. A better thing would be to go back to like the core content that I know was good and used to bring in traffic and fucking redo it, like rewrite it, new screenshots, new strategies, new techniques if it applies, reconfirmation of the specific information in there. Even, I don't have to say like, hey, I verified this and it's still accurate, just for me to go through it and to make sure that it's the right information. So that would have been good. Another thing is just like have new examples, like fresher examples, instead of having the same sort of like stale examples, case studies and such. So that would have been a better use of the money. It would have taken my, my own personal time, because I probably would have wanted to do that myself. So that was kind of a failure, which, I've talked about that probably, unfortunately, if you go through the archives, I've talked about that for a few years, but I kind of got started a little bit, I would say in like October, November, and then, I stopped doing it. So that is, that's a typical thing. I mean, I don't think you stop doing that. I'm fairly productive. I have a lot of output in the form of like this content and some other work that I do, but there's still this struggle of like starting a little more than you have time for, or sometimes starting things that you don't have the like mental drive to complete. So that is one of them. I technically had enough time to improve that content, rewrite it, do what I needed to do, but I just didn't put the time in. And I found other stuff that I thought was more fun, even if it, largely wasn't productive. It was just a more fun thing to do. So that's another failure. They just keep stacking up. So kind of related is losing interest in, projects and case studies. So one other case study, the one I worked on with niche website builders, we worked together for about 6 months or so. It was great, got good results. I worked with them on the content. They did a large amount of link building, and it's fine. It's fine. Now, one little mistake that I made is I started publishing informational content that was ranking pretty well. This specific kind of content has a low EPMV. So it's informational. I was monetizing with ads via Ezoic and things were fine. Traffic was growing. And then as traffic was growing, I saw that my revenue was barely moving up. And basically what was happening is like this kind of content is not advertiser driven. Advertisers will advertise on it, but it's not very profitable. It's just like people are not in the buying mood for that topic area. It's just informational. So I, you know, went in the deep end and I was like, all right, this is a great topic area. I'm going to do a lot of it. And it turned out to not be that profitable. So the lesson there that you can take away is before you go deep into a specific kind of content, you can make it sort of agnostic for the monetization method. But like, if you're going to make a large investment in a specific kind of content, you should make sure that it does fit your monetization. And if you are making assumptions about like your earnings, the projections, or anything like that, you should have checkpoints to verify so that you know if you're tracking in the wrong direction. So I was doing all this so quickly because I was working with niche website builders that by the time I got the data, it was a little bit too late. I mean, there wasn't much to do with it at that point. So all that to say, I lost a little steam with it. And again, I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. So I am very good at finishing projects that I deem a high priority that I really care about. But if it's kind of a slightly interesting thing, it's really easy for me just to walk away from it. And that could be the lesson there. Like if you're not, if you're working on things that you're moderately interested in that are an okay or a very good idea, then maybe you should walk away and like let them go because they're just taking up your brain power. They're just, it's spreading you too thin. It's usually not going to work out. And I know from experience now, I'll just let these projects die. I'll leave them alone. Luckily, I've trained myself to leave them. And now that I know that I can walk away, I just completely walk away. So a lot of times I'll now sell these projects. And I've done that the last couple of years as I've observed my tendency here. All right. Before we hit the AI stuff, quick note, if you're not on the email list, you could sign up over at nichesiteproject.com, click the green button, enter your name and email. I usually, send you a notification for like new shows or if there's something going on. I have been writing a little bit more in the emails just in general. So some of my thoughts, especially like with the AI stuff. So it's been, you know, I've had some thoughts and I haven't put them in other formats, necessarily in blog posts or anything like that, just sending them out in emails. So you can check those out. I share all my templates and systems and stuff like that as well. So, okay. Now, AI. ChatGPT came out a couple weeks ago. I stalled and waited, and finally I created an account over at OpenAI. I didn't have one before, never played with any of the tools. I was like, I just don't want to create another account. I don't care that much right now. I ended up creating it because Ariel Phoenix has a bulk content publishing masterclass, which contains an AI spreadsheet, an AI powered spreadsheet. So it's a Google Sheets, but there's some AI commands and capability behind it. Basically, you get an API, a token from OpenAI, and then you can access all the capabilities of GPT-3 at this point. And she's using, I think, like DaVinci 3 or something like that is a specific release. And then you have an AI powered spreadsheet, which is pretty cool. So I'll put a link to that. I'm an affiliate for that if you want to check it out. But a lot of people are really enjoying using that spreadsheet. And very soon, I'm not 100% sure when it'll come out, but I'll talk to Ariel about how she published, I think it was 1,000 articles in about 9 months, kind of on the side using this framework. So that's why it's so valuable and important. Anyway, I created an OpenAI account and started playing with GPT or ChatGPT. It's been pretty cool, right? It's been cool. The output has been superior, in my opinion, I've used it for a few days. So big caveat there. But so far, it blows the other tools that I've used out of the water. Jasper included. Jasper has a sexy front end. They have a good affiliate program. So like people are earning a lot of money. I'm not earning a lot of money. I'm earning a little, I mean, a couple people signed up because I've talked about it, but not that much. It's insignificant. So I don't give a shit that much. I think hopefully that's why some people listen to this show. So it's a little bit of money, but I'm not married to Jasper at all. They have a sexy interface. They had all these promises and whatever. It's fine. Like there's some output, but when I've done demos, I'm like, oh fuck, I could have written it myself. Then, using Jasper to like hold its hand. Now, some people use it more effectively than me, but that's where I am right now. So ChatGPT has been better than that. I've been able to get better information, less repetition. It seems to deliver what I'm looking for at a higher percentage than Jasper. We'll see how it goes in the future. Now, the thing is, as I'm talking about it and playing with it, the level of sophistication of the feedback from the audience is getting better. So someone emailed me the other day, I think it was Jan. I can't quite remember, but I think it was Jan. So shout out to Jan. He let me know some sort of specifics for using the OpenAI tools and stuff like that. And generally, it was like, give it a little bit more information, try to train it a little bit more, and it'll do a better job. So that makes sense to me. And it's funny, one of the comments that he made, he was like, there's a little more setup and a little more work, so it may not be for you. And you could do this stuff without coding directly, but blah, blah, blah. Great feedback, by the way. And we have a little dialogue going back and forth. So great help. And I want to thank him publicly here. So my thought is this, and I've mentioned it to a couple of people. I don't know if other people have thought this in our space. It could have been. It's not a largely original idea. But the main issue with that I had with the AI tools is like people were looking for like the easiest thing that they could possibly do. Most money with the least effort and the smallest amount of time. Like that's the issue, right? So people were like trying to use these tools to get long form content quickly, not editing it, just publishing it, right? Relatively low quality. I'm trying to figure out applications for myself. Not necessarily to write long form content. Maybe that's one thing you can do. But what I wonder is if I can train AI to read all of my content that I've personally written. So over on Niche Site Project, maybe it goes through my emails that I send out to the email list, right? Maybe I could train AI on my voice, my written word voice, right? And then I can feed it information, right? So I don't have to say write in the style of whoever. It's trained on me. That's what I want. I want it to write like me. So then I could say, write an email, here's 5 bullet points, blah, 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 right? Create a table, like do other stuff. Maybe it can work. That seems super interesting to me. I was chatting with a friend who he's blogged for a while. He has like a million words of content that he's personally written, put a lot of time into it. And then I was explaining this to him and he was like, that actually sounds interesting to me. He's like, I'm not 100% sure what I would do with that, but if it was trained on my thoughts, then that's pretty good in my writing style. Then maybe you can say, write a comparison, similarities and differences between this concept and that concept. Maybe two things that I've written about, but maybe that I haven't done that actual comparison. Now, maybe you have to feed it a little more information than that, but that's sort of the thought process. When Jan, hopefully I have your name right, didn't pull up the email before, but when Jan and I were emailing, I was like, I have a software background. I'm actually not afraid to code, and I know there's capability with OpenAI to write in plain language and it converts it to code, right? So you can use normal language and it'll generate the code for you. You may have to debug or whatever, but it'll do more. I'm not even afraid of the code portion. It's been a lot of years, but I think most of this is, you know, potentially straightforward. Scripting languages are, you know, things that I was interested in those things and have a decent amount of experience with shell scripts and other scripting languages as well. So it's something I would potentially look at. So let's take it one step further, right? And by the way, someone email me, right? feedback@doug.show if someone else is already talking about this too. Here's the concept. Let's say I want an AI, I don't know the right vernacular here, but let's say I want an AI model, my own personal AI. We'll call it Georgie in this case, all right? So we have Georgie, the brilliant border collie. She, it's a her for sure. So Georgie, my AI, can be trained on, let's say, Outdoor Gear Lab, all right? Here's Outdoor Gear Lab. Here's all the information. Here's all the URLs, whatever you have to do to feed it in, right? Here's all the URLs, or like crawl at the root, navigate the whole thing. You learn everything that is on Outdoor Gear Lab. Then, right now it's trained on product reviews very specifically. Maybe even it understands, I don't know, but maybe even understands what different products are, their specs, all the information's there. It's in tables, right? There's comparisons, there's all this information. Can you train an AI specifically to be an expert on outdoor products? And you know what? All the fucking information's right there. So all you have to do is just train it on that. You don't care about other stuff, right? You just need it trained on that. Then maybe you already have a blog, right? Or maybe you have a database of your writing or something like that, then you could train it on your voice. Then you can create kind of original content. Go with me on this, right? Kind of original content in your voice based on this great information that has already been researched elsewhere. I don't know if anyone's doing that. That sounds pretty interesting. The problem, I think, with some of the tools that I won't mention any specifically, even though I mentioned some earlier, but like the problem is they're trained like sort of generally, they're kind of, you know, vanilla. They need to fit the least common denominator and do a good enough job for most people. If you can train it yourself, then especially if it's like, here's your input, here's another input, and then you have a lot more sort of capability in there. Like I said, you know, using ChatGPT, it seemed to be a lot more grammatically correct, less repetition, just better information generally. And that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard from a lot of people. And when I talked to John Gillum from Emotion Invest and Originality AI, he was like, I used it to do this great formatting thing that would have taken me a long time. And I actually used it to do a similar thing. So someone sent me a PDF that had, it was like a slide presentation, but it was a PDF. So I used ChatGPT and said, take this information and change it into just normal text outline format. And it wasn't perfect. It was pretty close. Like the amount of content that I had was truncated. So the output gave me like half of what I needed. So I had to put it in two different commands. The weird thing is like when I put it in the two different commands, one time it used colons to delineate the definition from the term. And the other time it used a dash. And it didn't matter. I wasn't publishing it anywhere. I just needed it like kind of reformatted. So I left it the way it was. Easy enough to switch a dash to a colon, like not a huge deal, but I was struggling to get it to give the same output. I mean, I gave it consecutively and I was like, can you reformat this the way you did the other one? It was like, does not compute or whatever. It didn't know what I was talking about. So anyway, those are a couple of my ideas with the AI. I think everything's a little bit more mature now. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. And I can't remember. I'm pretty sure when I had issues with AI in the past, I was like, it's not there yet. I'll gladly flip as soon as things shift around. I don't know if it's there yet. I think, again, if you can train, if you could train Georgie, the Border Collie AI, then if you could train it specifically on what you want it to know, that is huge. You're like, here's the database to draw from. Ignore all the other stuff. Just focus on this stuff. And I think I've heard you can say like, oh, write in the style of someone. I haven't had much luck with that. When I've tried, it didn't seem like it was in that person's style. So I don't know if I picked a bad example or something like that. If anyone knows more about AI, see, the thing is, I'm just reading a little of the documentation over on the OpenAI site. So I'm not even sure if I wanted to like do some rudimentary kind of testing on this, like what I would need to do. I think it's basic enough, right? I think there might be sort of an algorithm or something already in place that I can jump into and just say, oh, I need to customize this for a couple things, but it's largely useful as it is. Really curious. Again, that's just as time has gone on and I'm like thinking about the applications, that makes sense to me. And I would not be opposed to, you know, for certain pieces of like email copy or something like that, it would be helpful. What could be great, right? So I do this other show, Mile High Fi. We don't do very well on the intros right now. And I think it could be very helpful to say, write an intro on this person, include these bullet points, and write it in this particular style. That would be pretty helpful just to have it written out. It doesn't have to be super formal. The thing is, it does help a lot to have like exactly what you're going to say in the intro done. You don't have to, and once you get enough reps in, but my co-host and I, we just haven't been doing as good of a job. We try to do a better job, but a lot of times we just don't do enough preparation, and this would make it a touch easier. We'll see how it goes. But I see like certain applications like that would be really helpful. Right, that's it for today, I think. And I think that's it for the year. Yeah, this is the last episode published for the year. One last thing. Hopefully people didn't drop off, but this is for the real fans. So I created a Redbubble store, I guess. So Redbubble is like a print-on-demand site. Right now, there's a Yellowstone t-shirt that I personally designed and some prints. So some photos that I've taken over the years, and I have not, published them anywhere else. You can get like metal prints for your wall. You can get like just poster kind of prints. You can get it on canvas. Again, there's a couple t-shirts, and that's actually why I wanted to set it up. My wife and I, like, we don't get a ton of t-shirts. We're getting more these days now that we're accumulating t-shirts and we like it. Now we're getting more and more of them, but we get like silly t-shirts with like punchlines from sitcoms that no one else would get unless they're obsessed with the sitcom. So we have a couple of shirts like that. And then some other stuff, I was like, I don't know if I want to get like a $35 t-shirt from Yellowstone. Like I could just design one and, put something that I want on there. So that was kind of the idea. I was like, we could like make our own shirts. And then if a couple of people want to buy them, that's cool. Anyway, it's out there. I'll put a link in the description. I think they're normally priced. I don't know. It kind of has like defaults in there for some of the art. I bumped it up a little bit. Those are my own custom images. I'll probably put some more. I'm actually interested in that area, but I'll probably put a couple other t-shirts too. So I got a jet before my voice dies. But if you want to check out my store, you can get some of my own original prints. There's some wildlife, some stuff from Yellowstone, some stuff from the Beartooth Highway. It's pretty cool. So Thanks a lot. Appreciate your support out there. And we'll catch you on the next episode next year. Thank you so much for listening to The Doug Show. I really do appreciate it. I mean, I'm just sitting here at my computer recording stuff, and you're listening to it, and I think that's awesome. If you enjoy the show and you know someone who maybe would be interested in it, please let them know. I think it would be fantastic if you help spread the word. If you are not signed up for the Niche Site Project email list, well, you're in luck. All you have to do is go to nichesiteproject.com, click the green button, enter your name and email address, and I'll send you a bunch of cool stuff about affiliate marketing, productivity, including all my templates. If you happen to not be subscribed to this podcast, please do subscribe, and don't forget, I welcome your questions. So you could send your emails to feedback@doug.show. I got that really cool domain, doug.show, that's it. So feedback@doug.show. Or I'm going to leave my voicemail number in the show notes. So all you have to do is give me a buzz, leave a voicemail, and then I'll potentially put you on the air. So looking forward to it, and we'll catch you next time.